On the screen, you see the title of today's sermon. And to those in the booth, I'm not going to use this today, okay? So shut it off or it won't come out right, okay? Better to do that than to confuse the whole thing. Mansions of the Lord. There is a song written by Ronan Tynan, which ends with these words: where no mothers cry and no children weep, we shall stand and guard though angels sleep. On through the ages let us keep the mansions of the Lord. I think the desire of most people is to go to heaven. But there's only one way to get there, and that is by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're going to preach to you about that today. In the revelation of Jesus Christ, we find these words in chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. And if you want to look that up and kind of follow along, you can. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his bond servants. You and I are bond servants of Christ, whether you like that idea or not. To show to his bond servants the things which must soon take place. And he sent and he communicated it by his angel to his bond servant John, who testified to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy. That means me and it means you this morning, if you want God's blessing. Last Sunday, as we know, was Easter. We remembered and celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Lord, and that means he is in charge of you as a believer. When you believe in the Christ, we give ourselves to him as Lord. Maybe nobody ever told you that before. That's, if you haven't heard that, then pray about that. Christ is Lord, not you and not me. He is Savior of those who believe in him. Why? Because he's the sacrifice for your sin. As God's Son, he died upon the cross of Calvary. His blood was shed there. And if you believe in him as Lord and Savior, he is your Savior. In Romans 10, 8 through 13, we read these words: the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are preaching. And I hope that's what I'm preaching this morning. Because if I'm not, I'm wasting your time. The word is that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be what? Saved. Promise from Jesus, a promise from God the Father and from the Holy Spirit. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. If you don't confess to Christ, something wrong. If you've been saved by him, you will confess him as Lord and Savior. Verse 11, for the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no difference between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call upon him. Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. A lot of my sermon today is going to come from Revelation. I'm going to jump around a little bit. I'm going to go to Revelation 21, 1 through 4, and it says these words: Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He will dwell with them." God dwells with you in the Holy Spirit, but God Himself, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one day will dwell with you. And they shall be His people, and God Himself will be with them. A lot of times that scripture is used for sermons, or for funeral sermons, a lot of times. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no longer any death, there will be no longer any mourning or crying or pain, for the first things have passed away. What is now will pass away. The hymn "Mansions of the Lord" speaks about that, where there's no more tears, no more crying, no more hurt and pain. We desire for a new heaven and a new earth. Yet a lot of times we're lied to. Jeremiah the prophet said in chapter 6, verse 14, "They have healed the brokenness of my people superficially." You get a lot of healings like that. Medical profession at times can't give you the healing you really want. They might help, and they might hurt. But the healing you want, it hasn't come yet. "They have healed the brokenness of my people superficially, saying" what? "Peace, peace." But there is no peace. You're hearing all kinds of promises from politicians at this time of the year. Be careful. Be careful. God loves righteousness. God loves justice, and God loves peace. And He takes time through His Scripture and through His Holy Spirit to reveal that to us. I hope God has revealed those kind of things to you. The psalm in Psalm 33 says, "Sing to Him a new song, play skillfully with a shout of joy, for the word of the Lord is upright, and all His work is done in faithfulness." I thank the choir, thank Kurt, I thank everyone that's had a part in worship this morning in music and in testimony about mission trips. It's been a blessing. God has spoke to you, and I hope you realize that over and over again. God is the righteous judge. Earthly judges, no matter how hard they try, they err. But God Himself is the righteous judge. Yet we know that God seldom brings instant justice. And you really don't want that, because He'll judge you and me. The world doesn't seem fair, while justice seems off in the distance, because there isn't any peace. No peace at all. The revelation of Jesus Christ was given to the Apostle John. He was one of the sons of Zebedee who followed Christ. And John lived for many years after Jesus had risen from the dead and returned to heaven. This book of Revelation was written somewhere between 94 AD and 98 AD. And if Jesus died around 35 AD, then, you know, it's been several years. John is an old man. when he writes the book of Revelation, when he sees this vision. John 3:16, we read that this morning. Marty read that to you. I will jump ahead to verse 18 of chapter 3. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe in him has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is a judgment, that the light has come into the world and men love the darkness rather than what? The light. Their deeds, for their deeds were evil. There is a popular religion, I'm going to call it, popular belief system going around right now. It's called this, moralistic therapeutic deism. That's a mouthful, isn't it? I can't hardly say it. Moralistic therapeutic deism. A lot of people believe in this system. It's not, it doesn't claim to be a world religion, but it is. And this system of statutes believes the following, and I want you to listen. See if you believe these things. See if you believe them. Number one, a God exists. I assume you believe that. A God exists who created and ordered the world and watches over human life on earth. Is that God's purpose, to watch over your life? Are you supposed to worship Him? Another thing in this system, God wants people to be good, nice, and fair to each other, as is taught in the Bible and other world religions. Is that all you got to do? Be good and nice and fair? Got news for you. No matter how hard you try, you can't do that all the time. No one can, other than Jesus Himself. The central goal of life is to be happy and to feel good about yourself. Mommy might tell you that, Daddy might tell you, but it's not. The goal of life is to worship God and His Son through the Holy Spirit. That's the goal of life according to the Scriptures, to the Bible. God does not need to be particularly involved in one's life except when God is needed for a problem. Is that all God is to you and me? A problem solver? You think about that a while. God's not there to be your problem solver. He may help you with your problems. He will send people your way to help. He may even help with that. But that's not His primary and only purpose. And that's not your only purpose to expect Him to do that. And then finally, this belief. Good people go to heaven when they die. What's wrong with that? My Bible tells me none is good, no, not one. What's that mean? There are no good people. We like to think there are. We have people we love dearly who we think have done some very good and wonderful things, and they have. But the kind of goodness that is required to get into heaven, not there. It's not in me. I love Pastor Mike to death. He's one of the finest men I've ever met. But he'll tell you he's not good. He still struggles with life and with temptation, as we all do from time to time. The problem with moralistic therapeutic deism is it's a lie. How many of those things touched your heart and you say, yeah, I kind of think that? You need to talk to Jesus Christ about that. The book of Revelation is about the fulfilling of God's bringing justice to His people. I never knew that when I grew up in the church. I always thought Revelation was about God being angry and jumping all over everything. If you read Revelation and you work through that, you'll be amazed at how patient God is. Why? Because He wants those who He's dealing with to repent and to come to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Do I think the time is getting closer for the end? Yeah. But I'm not a prophet, so I can't guarantee it. But the truth is, I wouldn't have told you that 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Christ can and will come at God's command. And I just, you know, one of them begin to think maybe it's a little closer to being here than it was. We've all been treated unjustly from time to time. And yet, justice will come. Peace will come when God commands that. And it will come through His Son, Jesus Christ. Christ was treated unjustly, wasn't He? Innocent man died upon the cross of Calvary because certain people wanted Him dead. And what they didn't know was He came to die on that cross to redeem those who would believe in Him. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, and that Lamb is Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation. Now, who do you belong to this morning? You either belong to Jesus Christ or you belong to Satan. According to the Revelation, the time is coming when people will be sealed, marked. During the Second World War, Jews were marked on their forearm. Had a number put there. It was their death camp number. May not have been there very long because a lot of them didn't live very long. But what you may not know is that the soldiers that were in charge of the death camp, the Waffen-SS, they had a tattoo right here. That's how they found out who a lot of these ex-Waffen-SS were. They still had their tattoo. Or they had a scar where it was taken off. That's sort of like the number 666 that Revelation talks about. Who do you belong to? No question in World War II that the Waffen-SS were who they were tattooed to be. Who do you belong to? Do you have the blood of Christ on you? In Revelation, 6 bowls of God's wrath are poured out upon the earth. That's later on in the book. 6 bowls. The 6th bowl in chapter 16, verse 1 is mentioned here. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the 7 angels, go and pour out on the earth the 7 bowls of wrath. And then verse 7 talks about, or 6 talks about Him pouring out a bowl that will dry up the Euphrates River. If you're in the country of Israel and you look north, there's the Tigris-Euphrates area north of Israel. In Revelation, that river is being dried up. Why? So that the army coming from that direction to fight Christ can get there. Doesn't have to go around the river. It's dry. And then finally, the 7th bowl of God's wrath is poured out upon the earth. And And it says this in chapter 17, or verse 17 of chapter 16. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl upon the air, and a loud voice came from the temple, from the throne, saying, "It is done! It's done." Someday, an angel's going to shout that when God tells him to. It's done. And there were flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder, and there was a great earthquake such as there had not been since man came upon the earth. So great an earthquake was it, and so mighty. And what happens? Babylon, the city of Babylon, is destroyed. Where is Babylon? Is it still up north of Israel? Or is it Rome? Is it Washington, D.C.? Is it New York? I don't know. God knows. And someday it's going to tear it apart. Not only that city, but when this bowl of wrath is poured out, John's vision says every city will fall. And if that's not enough, large hailstones are supposed to fall from heaven. Islands, if you're in Hawaii, you're in trouble, because every island is supposed to sink. And then you and I sit here and we say, how does anybody survive that? I don't know. Because there's a massive army that's going to come down for the Battle of Armageddon. Who's going to win that battle, that final war? John says Jesus will. Jesus will. Now you may look at the book of Revelation and see it figuratively. It's just symbolic. Parts of it probably are. But the reality is, when God says it's time, this world's going to stop. Jesus Christ's enemies are going to be defeated, and He's going to be back. And He says there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, because this one's going to be gone. You want to be in that heaven or that earth? Then you take Jesus Christ very, very seriously in your life. And you turn to Him. Revelation 17:14 says, "These will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, because He is what? Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with Him are called the chosen and the faithful." I don't know about you, but that'd be kind of nice for Jesus to refer to me that way. It'd be very comforting. Especially when I know the struggles I have in life. How do you see the Christ this morning? How do you see faith in Jesus Christ this morning? I'm going to encourage you to believe in Christ as your Lord and Savior if you haven't done that. Pray to Him. Tell Him you believe in Him. Ask Him to forgive your sin, and then be willing to turn from whatever it is that you're doing wrong and follow Him. And that's the struggle. Follow the Christ. God is love, this Bible says, the same Bible that John's vision is in. And God is. But God is also holy. And sin separated man from the holy God, who is doing everything He can to bring you and me and everyone else into His kingdom. Have you responded to Him? You need to if you haven't. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, thank You for this day, the beauty and the glory that we have seen here in it, and the beauty of what we see when we go outside. For those who are struggling with faith, might You bless them today. Might they say yes to Christ if they haven't, and if they have, might they follow Him even closer. In Jesus' name, we pray for these blessings. We pray for the forgiveness of sin. And amen. Amen. Our hymn at this time is number